Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel this weekend, the story opens up with Jesus and his people in a deserted place. Now the Greek word for a deserted place or the wilderness is eremos. Remember now, the Bible was originally written in Greek. Now, where else do we hear this word eremos? Well, we have to go back to the Old Testament, and it describes the place in which Moses has led the Israelites. As they're wandering into the desert, they encounter the eremos themselves, a deserted place, the wilderness. And it is there that through God's love, they are fed with manna in the morning and quail in the evening. Well, now in the gospel for this weekend, Jesus now is with his people in the eremos, the wilderness, a deserted place. And once again, it is God's love that feeds his people. In this case, with a few loaves of bread and fish. Notice how the story continues. The apostles approach Jesus, and they tell Jesus to disperse the people. It says, the apostles approached Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." What are the apostles really saying? Well, it's an attitude of evil. Whenever we hear the word division, dispersion, or scatter, that is the work of sin. Essentially, the apostles have the attitude of, let the people fend for themselves, every man for himself. Yet what does Jesus say? It says that his heart was moved with pity for them. Jesus knows that these people are vulnerable now that they are in the eremos, the wilderness. They are alone and they're vulnerable to attack from the weather, from wild animals, from thieves and robbers. Worse yet, the people are vulnerable to spiritual attack from the forces of evil. Jesus knows now more than ever, the people have to stay together. That's why he tells his apostles, no, you will not disperse them. We must stay together. My friends, part of the responsibility of being part of the body of Christ, being part of a faith community, is bearing one another's burdens. When someone is having problems within the body of Christ, within our own faith community, we are also affected. We must always support one another. Now the story continues. Jesus turns to his apostles and he tells them, you know, do something. Don't just stand there. So the apostles offer Jesus all that they have, a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Jesus takes the little that the apostles have and he multiplies it. My friends, there is a basic biblical truth that whenever we give Christ anything, he will take it and multiply it. When we love God through prayer, through serving others, through growing in our wisdom, through whatever action, when we love God, God will take that love and he will multiply it in such a way that his love comes back to us. His love and his grace comes back to us in a super abundant way, a way that is over the top, more than we ever expected. And we see that evidenced at the very end of the story. It says, they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Now Jesus didn't say to his apostles, "Now I'm going to give these people just a little bit that will help them get through the night. And then in the morning, they can go out to the towns and villages and find food for themselves." No, Jesus took the very little that the apostles had and he multiplied it in such a way that the people had more than their fill. Their bellies were full, and better yet, they had leftovers, 12 wicker baskets. Herein lies a very powerful spiritual lesson. Give what we have to Christ. We must give our heart, our mind, our soul, our time, our talent to God, and He will take it up. He will multiply it, and then He will give His love and grace back to us in a most superabundant way. My friends, what's the worst thing that we could possibly do? Cling to what we have. Cling to the very little that we have, and then have the attitude of the apostles and say, "Let those people fend for themselves, every man for himself." That's not the attitude of a person in the body of Christ. Now, where do we see this spiritual lesson on display for us? Where does it manifest itself continually in front of our own eyes? Well, at the Mass. It is during the Mass, specifically at the offertory, that we give our meager little gifts to God. We process down the aisle with the gifts of bread, wine, and water. And God takes those tiny little gifts and He multiplies them in such a way that these small gifts become the greatest and the most powerful gifts in this world, Christ's own body and blood. It is these powerful gifts that gives us the grace to live a genuine and authentic life of discipleship in Jesus Christ. Furthermore, it is the power of these gifts that gives us the hope of salvation. Now, stay with that thought. The thought of giving God everything that we have as a gift, and God taking them up, multiplying them, and then giving back to us His love and His grace in a superabundant and over-the-top way. Turn now to the second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. This powerful yet small passage is considered by many theologians to be a summary of the whole Christian message of Jesus Christ. Listen now. Paul writes, "What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? No, in all these things we conquer them overwhelmingly through Jesus who loved us." Paul is telling us that God's superabundant grace and love that He gives us will overcome all things, even the worst things that we could possibly imagine in this world. Paul identifies some of the worst things that we could encounter in our lifetime. For example, he writes, anguish or distress. Well, how about depression and anxiety, fear? Persecution, Paul writes. Well, how about abuse? Whether it's emotional, physical, or verbal abuse. Famine and nakedness. Well, homelessness, hunger, peril. Maybe we face challenges. Maybe even life and death challenges. The sword. Maybe we face grave illness. These are all things, the worst things that we could possibly encounter in our life. Paul identifies them. Why? Because Paul is telling us a very strong message. Paul is not afraid of any of these things. Paul doesn't fear them because he knows with Christ and with the love of Christ, he can overcome anything in this world. And so can we. My friends, we have the love of Christ in our life, just like Paul. We must acknowledge that, and then we must take comfort in it, and have the confidence that with the love of Christ, we can overcome, as Paul says, overwhelmingly, the worst things in this world, because we have the love of Christ with us, that powerful force. And if you doubt Paul, I suggest that you turn to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, Paul gives a great account of all the hardships that he endured in his ministry. The many beatings, stonings, the whippings, the shipwrecks that Paul endured. Yet he endured all those things because he knew the love of Christ was a powerful force in his life. Now Paul continues. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor present nor future things, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul is telling us point blank, God's love and grace not only is given to us in an overabundant way, but has the power to overcome anything in this world and will never, ever be separated from us or taken away from us. Now, it's interesting. Paul identifies some things that we used to think before Jesus Christ came into this world would possibly separate us from God's love. First, he identifies death. Death is the greatest of all fears that we have. Yet through Jesus Christ, death is conquered. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have no longer the fear of death because it no longer has power over us. Paul next talks about life. Now this is odd. How could life separate us from God? Well, before Jesus Christ came into this world, when things went well, we became preoccupied with our success. We felt we no longer needed God, yet God is the giver of all good gifts. Paul continues. He talks about heights or depths that could possibly separate us from God's love. What does he mean by this? Well, height would be fame, fortune, the ego, rising so large and so big that it begins to eclipse God. How about depths? Here, Paul is describing depression and anxiety, fear, times in which we feel so low and so dark, we lose sight of, or no longer have the feeling of the presence of God in our life. We feel abandoned. Now, Paul is describing good as well as bad things in this world, yet whatever they are, they cannot separate us from God's overwhelming and superabundant love. My friends, it is God's love that fed the people in the Eremos, the wilderness. It is God's love that continues to feed us in the Eucharist through Jesus' body and blood. It is God's love that continues to guide and protect us through God's grace so that we can be authentic disciples of God, of Jesus Christ in our daily lives. And it is God's love that will never, ever be separated from us. And my friends, that truly is the good news for us. And may the peace and the grace of God rest upon you always.